and passionately declare that torture is evil and that we are lesser people and we have denigrated our nation's tradition as a result. Because they didn't say that clearly, there's a problem with this movie and it doesn't deserve
it. No, that's not it. Like, look at The Hurt Locker. Okay, so we went into the war in Iraq, because supposedly there were weapons of mass destruction, right? Mm-hmm. Well, everybody now believes that those never happened. Some people still believe that they did, right? It's a debate. If The Hurt Locker had been about finding those weapons of mass destruction, mm-hmm. or anything like that, and telling that side of the story, it would be taking a very specific side. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, except that no one really believes that WMD has any merit at this point. Nobody.
Right, and so The Hurt Locker beautifully reflected mm-hmm. the emptiness and pointlessness and futility of that unwinnable war.
Mm-hmm.
Did it beautifully, and it did it on like in a way that liberals approve of.
Yeah.
Zero Dark Thirty is not telling a story in a way that liberals approve of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a right-wing notion that mm-hmm. we should use these enhanced techniques in order to get information because that's the best way we can obtain information.
Uh-huh.
That's a right-winger thing, you know?
Right.
So...
Okay, now that Tom Hooper has been denied a Best Director nomination by his own folks at BAFTA, and now he's also lost out here, what does that mean? Does that mean that everybody agrees with what the critics who have been saying that there's a problem with the direction, the Dutch angles, the close-ups, the relentless? It's basically that consensus has really taken hold, I think, right? There's no way to push that away anymore.
I mean, did anybody think that the directors in the Academy were going to vote for Tom Hooper? I didn't. I never thought that. I mean,
but they did at the DGA, correct?
Yeah, but the DGA is 15,400 people from TV and radio.
Right.
What that showed to me was that Les Mis was a lot more popular than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that might help it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I say, if the DGA announcement had come out before Oscar ballots, that would have legitimized Tom Hooper more.
Pete Hammond was saying last night at this little gathering for the Critics' Choice Awards that you have to understand the DGA has lots of smaller directors, lots of guys who work in television. They just vote for the movie and the emotional impact of that movie. They're not really talking about their relationship with this or that director. They're not really considering the quality of his or her work compared to previous work. They're just voting for the movie like anybody else. And it's not really like any kind of insider's, craft-driven appreciation of how good or bad a job a person...
Probably true.
Yeah.
It's probably true, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
directors are the most, egotistical group in the Academy. Like, every director I've ever talked to, as wonderful as they are and as much as I like them,
mm-hmm.
they're arrogant as fuck.
mm-hmm.
They're the ones that think they know what a good movie is and what a good movie isn't,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So, and they're mostly men, and they're mostly straight men. So, straight men are not on Les Mis' side. It appeals more to women,
mm-hmm.
to gay men, than it does to the Academy demographic, which is mostly straight males. And... But that's why it seemed like Zero Dark Thirty would kind of be up their alley. But look, think about Oliver Stone. He's totally anti that movie, anti Zero Dark Thirty. You know, they're going to.
When did he speak about
like
it, Sasha? I haven't heard him speak at length. When did he speak about it?
I can't remember where, but someone said that he was bagging on it.
And what, he because of the torture thing again, or
yeah, of course. Other directors I've talked to have said that they thought that was bullshit and that you should never judge a movie that way, that it should just be on the movie, but they still didn't really like the movie all that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where we went wrong with Kathryn Bigelow or where they went wrong. For me, it because I'm a stat girl, it always
mm-hmm.
boils down to the announcement coming
mm-hmm.
later
mm-hmm.
than the Oscar nominations, that's all.
If you had given me odds last night, and let's say we're putting money down on certain things, and if you had given me odds that if I put down $1 and I would get $5 if Jackie Weaver were to win, I would not put that dollar down.
Win or be nominated?
To be nominated, as she was
yeah.
this morning. I would have said, no, I don't believe that. I don't, I just wouldn't take it. I would just say, there's just not any real talk about it. De Niro, yes. Cooper's, Lawrence, yes, but I never heard anything. So where did that come from, in your opinion?
I had her on my long list of contenders. When the season first started, I thought she was a shoo-in, because to tell you the truth, she's my favorite character in the whole movie.
Okay.
And when I was listening to these two actors talking at the SAG screening for Zero Dark Thirty, they were going on and on about Silver Linings, and they were singling out how much they loved Jackie Weaver.
She has two lines where she says, let's call the FBI when he can't find his remotes.
But it's not that. It's just her whole persona is really likable. She's just really sweet and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of keeps the whole family together.
And she says, you know, I'm making Krabby Cakes, what,
about
seven different times? I mean, what is she doing that thing, really? You know.
And homemades. I don't know, it just must be some David O. Russell thing, who knows, mm-hmm. but that's so cute when she says that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever. It just shows that they really liked the movie is what it shows. It shows that the actors really liked it. And that, to me, probably signals... prepare yourself for a SAG ensemble win for Silver Linings over Les Mis.
Right.
You know?
And what about Golden Globes? Do you think this means anything? Does this tell us anything?
Well, what I heard was that the Golden Globes were evenly split down the middle on Les Mis, mm-hmm. and that it could go to and that they really loved Silver Linings Playbook.
Right.
Now, neither David O. Russell nor Tom Hooper are nominated for director there, so I didn't love it that much. But I don't know. It's sort of a toss-up between those two. The Golden Globes, for me, are the hardest to predict. Okay. Like, I have there's like 90 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what they're going to do.
Yeah, who knows what those people are about.
Yeah.
So what happened to poor John Hawkes? I mean, I would have figured... I know that I wasn't betting on him, but I thought, if he makes it, that's a worthy thing. Because you didn't like that movie?
I always had it in the back of my mind that he could get dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of had a feeling that I put Joaquin down in the last minute, but I also put Bradley Cooper, and I couldn't fit all of them in, and I had to dump one, and I would always think to dump John Hawkes, but I always remembered Ann Thompson, who's really, really good at predicting the Oscars, and really good at sort of early on figuring out what movies are going to do well, and she always had a strong thing for the Sessions, and she always said that there was no way he would get dumped, he's playing this disabled guy,
mm-hmm.
you know. But
people playing disabled people often do pretty well, so...
Yeah, but he's just... The problem with John Hawkes is he's not a big enough star.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just not a big star. He doesn't have... And probably what happened was the SAG saw that Joaquin Phoenix was shut out, and they thought that was unfair, and they fought hard to get him in.
Uh-huh.
Plus, remember, Joaquin Phoenix had that whole thing where he dissed the Oscars.
Yeah.
And the Oscars... despite the fact that you think that they would ignore you, they actually like it when people diss them. Because secretly, everybody feels like he feels. Everybody
mm-hmm.
hates the stupid dog and pony show that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they like him. And he has a lot of friends. He has a big, big network of friends in Hollywood. And he gave a great performance in The Master. So
starting last May, when I saw the Jacques Audiard film... For Rustin Bone, you know, it was like Marion Cotillard, she was there at Telluride. Everybody, it got inflated at Telluride Toronto. What happened there, do you think? She didn't.
God. Good question.
Hmm.
I really don't know what happened there.
She's already had her Oscar 3 years ago. You know, we can give it to nominate other people. Is that it?
I think they just liked other movies more.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were really fighting to get Emmanuel Riva in.
Yeah.
Fighting much harder for her than for Marion Cotillard. Marion Cotillard's already won.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, to me, she seemed like that was like her second best performance. But I guess a lot of people just kind of didn't quite connect to that movie, and it's in French. It's really hard for two foreign film actresses to get nominated the same year. It's hard enough for one, let's face it.
Yeah. Now, who were the people, by the way? I know Chris Tapley was one. Who else was saying that the Intouchables...
Oh, God, that got snubbed
in
film.
So what does Tapley have to say for himself?
You have to ask him. I don't know. You know, he was, like, extraordinarily right on some things and, like, extraordinarily wrong. Like, his Les Mis thing was 100% wrong.
Yeah.
But coming out, and Dave Karger, too, coming out saying it was going to sweep and, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then The Intouchables, he said, was so good, it was going to get nominated for Best Picture, and then it didn't even get nominated for foreign film.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, but he was also really right about Amor, and he was really right about a couple other things. I can't remember exactly, but they were specific, and he's usually really... The reason he's a good predictor, Chris, is because he takes chances. He's not like Dave Carger. He doesn't play it safe.
Yeah.
And when you take big chances, you can it pays off big time, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm. What about the documentary Bully? I thought that had enough, particularly all that hoo-ha about the ratings this year.
It was last year, though. You know, it's like, I don't know why they thought they could sell a movie that had all of its publicity happening last year, you know?
Because it was on the plate as one of the potential.
I know it was. I was confused by that. Like, to me, it seemed like it should have been nominated the year before, but mm-hmm. it was kicking around too long. That movie, it lost all of its, you know, its shimmer.
Did you like
the other movies were really great that got nominated for documentary?
Did you like the Intouchables? I thought it was a pretty good film, actually. I finally saw it on the screener much much later than I should have seen it. But
yeah, I think that. What's happening for me in this year is that in any other year I would probably like movies like Silver Linings Playbook,
yeah.
But in this year when movies are so good, they're so unbelievably good that, mm-hmm. that it tends to make a movie like that to me seem a little too light
yeah.
by comparison, you mm-hmm. know, a little too like, really? And we've seen that before, you know, we've been there before, but
right.
a lot of these other movies, we've never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Like Life of Pi, for instance, which I know you didn't like that much, but... That's an incredible movie. A lot of the reason I knew it was going to do well with the Academy was because a lot of my like middle-aged, like actualized male friends all said it was like their favorite movie.
Same people who like Forrest Gump think Life
is Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So you knew it was going to be a huge Academy favorite if that's the case, you know.
I think back to it, I still don't get that, wow, what a great ending thing. I kind of liked the ending of Which Story Do You Believe? I like
yeah,
that. I like that.
Too.
I didn't find it particularly moving, though. I just thought, okay, that's a nice thing to throw in there at the end. That was good. So Richard Parker was actually Gérard Depardieu. Is that the way?
No, Richard Parker was him. Richard Parker was his stronger self, helping to keep him alive during a time when he was about to die.
Oh, fine.
But it's so playful to me. It's so, like, Buddhist. It's so, you know...
Yeah.
It's such a lovely, funny way of looking at, like, the unbearable lightness of being, I thought. Because,
yeah.
yes, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two stories. Take your pick.
Yeah. Did you ever see Helen Mirren being a possible, a contender as far as... was she up for Best Actress, was it? Or,
yeah. No, I was surprised that movie got anything at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the worst movies of the year.
Right.
Completely offensive
right.
and
okay.
embarrassing.
Okay.
It was like, to me, like Anonymous, that
yeah.
movie Anonymous about Shakespeare. It was along on that level.
Okay. All right. Now, I thought perhaps that particularly after Richard Gere had a luncheon party and everybody
showed Richard
up,
Gere!
He would... All these years, and we're talking now, looking for Mr. Goodbar was what year, 76?
I think it was the same year as Annie Hall, yeah.
And 76, 77, and then, of course, the following year was Days of Heaven. I said, you know, this man has been plugging away for 35 years and doing some really good work. And I thought, all right, we understand what's going on here. This is not necessarily a win, but it's... Come on, man! He did a really good job in that film. Did an excellent, really sustained piece of believable acting, low key, well thought through. And it's just it's the performance plus that he's been doing this for 35 years, and they blew it off because of.
They blew it off. Well, you know, it was funny because I was watching the other day. I was watching Scent of a Woman. I showed that to Emma, you know, and that's Al Pacino's big Oscar-winning moment, and his career is full of just brilliant performances all through it.
Yeah.
And then that's the one he wins for.
Yeah.
It's fine, it's a good movie and all, but man, what he has to go through to win that Oscar. He has to be blind, he has
yeah.
to have all these emotional outbursts, he has
yeah.
to save the day.
Right.
You know, he has to do like a blind man driving a Ferrari scene.
Right.
Try to kill himself, you know.
Yeah.
He really had to, and look at what Meryl Streep had to go through just to win an Oscar for Iron Lady. So, I mean, I don't think they hand out Oscars really to people unless they go hardcore, like
really go
Jeff Bridges and Crazy Heart, or
So they don't accept the idea of, or they didn't, it wasn't sufficiently communicated that it's not just the performance, it's the career also. Nobody bought that. They ignored
only
it.
If he had, like, let's say he turned into a junkie and he was rolling around in an alley and he gained 50 pounds, you know, and then he, like, stole a bunch of money and gave it to a, like, a charity and saved the day, you know? That's the kind of stuff you have to do to get into the Oscars if you're not in one of the strong, Bradley Cooper, by all rights, should have been ousted. He didn't deserve that part to be nominated for that.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
I know you do. I know you love that movie, but come on, he phoned that shit in.
No, he didn't.
And also, he...
The best thing he ever did. He upped his game at least a couple of levels with that.
Not at an Oscar level, though. They voted for him because they like him and they like the movie. They like the character.
Oh, it is on the Oscar level. Here's what a director friend has written me. Lincoln is going to win. It's a bet the house thing. But it is a nice vindication for you with SLP. It's nice to back the right horse, that's for sure.
I think I know which director this is.
And I was surprised by the Weaver nomination, but heck, why not? The only real surprise would be if Chastain beats Lawrence. Do you think there's any shot at that? Are you there?
No, I don't think that she can beat her.
Yeah.
I think other actresses could, but not her.
Because I think that Chastain goes down because...
Yeah.
Because Bigelow went down because of all the people that you know or...
Because she's the torturer in the film.
Yeah.
Partly. I mean, that's one thing I love about Zero Dark Thirty is that...
Well, she's not the torturer, Jason Clarke is.
No, she is. She's the badass because he says...
You can get yourself out of it by telling us the truth, right?
No, Jessica Chastain is the one who says, can we take another pass at him? And the guy says, you know, the guy...
Oh, yeah.
Mark looks at her like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another scene where she's in a room with a guy who's just getting waterboarded, and she nudges this guy to hit him across the face and then nudges him to hit him across the face again. It's not a likable character.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that about it myself.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I thought that was original and brave and cool and, you know...
Because the woman always does the emotional thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that hurt. Can we not be so mean? Let's be more humane. You know, she didn't do that. That was cool.
Right. I thought so, too. Like, when he says, I'm going to show her your junk, and I'm going to embarrass you in front of this female.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leaves the room, and it's just the two of them. And then the detainee says, can you please tell him to stop? And she walks up to him, and, you know, he expects her to be more compassionate because she's a woman, but she doesn't. She does her job. She does what she's trained to do. And she says, he'll stop when you tell him what he wants to know or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately for that movie, we have to take with us all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be a movie, you know, about stuff that happened. It has to be, did it really happen, you know? So it's unfortunate. It takes away the enjoyment of the film, even for me, and I loved it, you know.
So you think that the only way for me to go, Sasha, as you've indicated to me on Twitter, is that I'm supposed to just be mild-mannered Mel on the sidelines and just say what a nice, well-done, which I believe, Lincoln. I got to stop the Lincoln hate. I got to stop the Lincoln...
I don't think you have to stop the Lincoln hate.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not going to stop the silver linings. But I don't think you should attack Spielberg personally. I think after 30 years in the business, he deserves better.
Oh, yeah, he deserves a little pat on the back after everybody's been...
No, not a little pat on the back.
Yeah.
He deserves a lot more than that, but he doesn't deserve to be raked over the coals as a human being. I think that's wrong. I would never do that with David O. Russell, and believe me, I could. But I never would, because that's not about... It's not about...
So mentioning the obvious, which is that he is going to make a robot movie after this whole...
That wasn't the problem that you...
That's a problem?
No, it's not a problem that you said that. It's a problem the way you said it and how you closed out that post.
I said that a small way of looking at it would be, Jesus, this guy's an Oscar winner, and he's going to make a robot movie? I mean, that...
Well, what about Jennifer Lawrence in a huge franchise who just won the People's Choice Awards for The Hunger Games? Give me a break. That movie made $400 million, and she's in all kinds of shitty movies like that, you know? And I'm supposed to vote for her for the Oscar? What does she need the Oscar for?
I would say that...
Bradley Cooper's going in to do Hangover 3.
That's true. That's true.
Give me a break, you know? What about Robert Robert De Niro and all of his
and
shit.
And all the crappy movies he's done, yeah.
The only decent one among them is Jackie Weaver.
I would say that all of these actors are guilty for by association with mediocre or bad films. Absolutely.
There you go, and you're never going to say that on your site.
No,
you're not going to take them down, so why do you give Steven
because
Spielberg...
Because Spielberg is the billionaire who can do anything he wants.
And all these other people are, too. You don't think that Robert De Niro is a billionaire?
Well, he's a millionaire.
Well, give me a break.
Or multi-millionaire. You know, they're all very well set up. But
okay, so it doesn't really matter. Steven Spielberg is a filmmaker. He makes movies. He has been making movies for 30 years. He doesn't make movies to make money. He never has. Anybody who knows his work and has grown up with him, as I have, knows that about him. He's never made movies just for money. He makes them because he likes to make them, and he gets hired to make them.
Yeah, that's basically what a very spirited hack does. He loves the job of it. He's not trying to make something that is a distillation of his most earnest, most impassioned feelings about life, about how he's lived, about something that happened to his mother. He's just like, I like to do the work. I make this movie, and I make a robot movie, and I make a Lincoln movie.
That's such bullshit.
That just
shows someone who doesn't know anything about Steven Spielberg. Who hasn't even taken the time to look at Steven Spielberg.
Been watching his stuff.
Put him in a little box and decided that that's where the box goes. It only reflects your limited thinking. It doesn't reflect anything on Steven Spielberg. And I know that, like, Guy Lodge and all these other people feel the same way you do. It took Steven Spielberg a long time to get credibility in Hollywood. You know, they never took him seriously.
He has the power to make something else other than Spielberg movies. But he just makes these fucking movies, he's been doing it all his life.
He's been trying to make Lincoln for 10 years. He made Lincoln because he's interested in Abraham Lincoln. He talked to Doris Kearns Goodwin about it, and she was writing the book while he talked about making the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He is so, like, emotionally tied in with the story.
Mm-hmm.
Both he and Daniel Day-Lewis just talked about his performance for a whole year before they ever even started filming it.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Gettysburg, you know, to talk about Lincoln giving the Gettysburg Address.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about this subject. He cares about Lincoln. Not only that, he's one of the only directors in Hollywood that has a social conscience, that tries to make movies that reflect the concerns of African Americans in America. He did that with The Color Purple. He did it with Amistad. He's the only director who's ever cast black kids in his film as quote-unquote normal children, which he did in one of the Jurassic Park movies. He's the only director that has made movies that star in the genre of fanboy genre that have strong female characters. Maybe the movies failed, but Karen Allen in Indiana Jones, Holly Hunter in Always,
yeah.
You know, and Sally Field in Lincoln. You know, he is one of the few that is smart enough.
Here you are defending Steven. You're pointing out the good things.
Women in his films.
You're pointing out the good things about Steven Spielberg, and you mentioned as part of your spiel Always, one of the most terrible things I've ever seen.
I watched it last night. It is a hot mess of a film.
An absolutely unwatchable film about African Americans called The Color Purple. I couldn't stand that movie. I mean, that was like agony to sit through.
Partly. I mean, the thing about Spielberg that I've learned after all these years of watching him is that his emotions are on the surface, you know, and that's why his movies are so ridiculous and sappy in a lot of ways, because he feels things deeply, but the way he expresses them is not the way Michael Haneke would. More like Charles Dickens, you know. It's just, it's all right there on the page, and people complained about Charles Dickens at the time, too, by the way, as being a guy who just turns out shit for the masses, you know.
Yeah, he certainly did, as far as the serials were concerned. That's it. He wrote for money and for people who would get the story and feel what he was feeling.
But he's Charles Dickens!
Yeah.
Look at what he's contributed to the world. And I could say, you can't call Steven Spielberg a hack. You can't. Not after the movies he's made.
He's a very, very successful hack who doesn't have a particular...
He's not a hack.
Yeah.
I could name a hack that's in this Oscar race, but I'm not going to do it because I think it's mean. He's not a hack. He didn't sell out to try to win Oscars. He didn't dumb it way down so that he could just get a Best Picture nomination.
Yeah.
Didn't do that. There is a director that did...
David O. Russell dumbed down Silver Linings? He just made it into a commercial thing.
Oh, you know? Come on. Have you read the book?
I didn't know.
Compare Silver Linings to, say, I Heart Huckabees or Three Kings or Flirting with Disaster. Compare that movie to these, a sappy little romance that ends unrealistically on a happy note. Come on, give me a break.
It ends with them getting a serviceable but not very distinguished 5 out of 10. That's what's cool about it. I think
that call, which I knew was going to happen the second out of their mouth. Come on, but it's not just that. It's, you know, guy saves girl, all girl wants is guy. I don't know. It's simplistic. I like David O. Russell's work. I don't think that you could ever call him a hack after what he's done. Mm. But he knows that his more interesting, daring stuff is not going to help him in Hollywood, and so he's
every now and then you
making
do one
his
of
stuff
these
more
movies.
Palatable so he can be in the Oscar race, so he can get work, and I don't begrudge him that. I'm just saying that, you know, if you want to throw around the word hack, it can be shared.
All right. Okay, so I want to, one last thing and we'll quit. I think we've done very nicely. We've kept to the subject. We've moved along very quickly. Pete has an assessment that he just came up at the deadline. It took him, it is now 10:30, it took him 4 hours to write this. or more than 4 hours, actually.
Me this is one word.
Let's throw conventional wisdom out the window. The year when so many genuine contenders, let me see, he says, the biggest shockwaves were clearly over the omission of Ben Affleck's direction of Argo and Catherine Bigelow's absence for Zero Dark Thirty, which we've amply covered. But he still thinks that it's pretty much going to go for Lincoln. Okay, there's nothing too radical here. I'm going to have to go to the... I'm going to the... for the first time in my Hollywood career, I'm going to go to the... Critics' Choice. Have you ever?
How neat you are! Cool.
Yeah, never done that before.
No, I don't belong to that group. But
yeah, going to be at a hangar in Santa Monica. It starts. You know, it starts at 5.
Talk about predictions really fast. What do you think is going to win there? I don't think Lincoln is. I think that Zero Dark Thirty or Argo might win because they didn't. They had to turn in their ballots before the Oscar nomination.
That's true. So what? Why do you think that they're not going to go for Lincoln like everybody else? I put in Zero Dark Thirty myself, and so did Scott Feinberg. But what do you think? Why do you think not Lincoln? That's what I presumed is going to win. No.
You mean Scott predicted Zero Dark Thirty, or he voted for?
That's what I thought he voted for. I mean, we were talking a while ago. I mean, he has, you know.
Well, the funny thing about the Oscar race is that it's all about perception. For instance.
Yeah.
Now that Catherine Bigelow and Ben Affleck are out,
yeah.
Perception for these two movies is going to drop significantly,
yeah.
And so that means that it's going to cause a huge ripple effect because as far as I could tell in Oscar history,
yeah.
The ones that aren't nominated, like for instance, neither of them can really win the DGA. I don't think.
Yeah.
Unless it's just the weirdest year ever, but usually you have to be Oscar nominated to win these other awards. So. If we had another week after this for Critics' Choice ballots to go in, there's no way Argo or Zero Dark Thirty would win because the Critics' Choice like to match Oscar.
Yeah.
But since they put in their ballots still thinking that Zero Dark Thirty or Argo could win, they have a much better chance, I think, of winning. Or Silver Linings, you know? The thing about the Oscar race right now is that it looks like Lincoln could win,
mm-hmm.
But anything else could also win. Like... Silver Linings could win the Producers Guild,
yeah.
And it could win the SAG Ensemble Award.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's say it wins those two, can't win the DGA because it's not nominated. Well, that puts it in a really good position to win Best Picture, even if it doesn't win Best Director.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, Michael Haneke could win Best Director, and Lincoln could win Best Picture. You know, Michael Haneke, somebody else could win the DGA. Like, let's say Steven Spielberg wins the DGA. Like, Amore could be like The Pianist. And it could surprise and get original screenplay, director, and then let's say Lincoln wins Best Picture.
Well, it would be at least marginally satisfying for me personally, from my own given my own prejudice. If at least Lincoln, I understand that Lincoln's probably going to win. If Spielberg doesn't win Best Director, that would at least help me.
He deserves it as much as anybody else. I don't understand that logic.
I've had a disdain for that man for too long.
I know, but that's not fair to just put your own personal feelings on it. You should look at the movie itself. It's, you know, it's not just about Jeff Wells' ego or my ego.
No, it's not about my ego. It's about his sloppy emotionalism.
There's no sloppy emotionalism in Lincoln.
All right. No, Sasha, I don't think that Lincoln is sloppily emotional. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the man's work.
I know, but this is about the movie.
Yeah.
It's not about Homecoming King.
Well, It is, in a sense. I mean, it's always a consensus vote about your body of work as well as your most recent film.
I know, and that's why I think there's a really... He's already won two Oscars. I think there's a really good chance he won't win. In fact, Life of Pi could come in and win everything, too. So wow. It's pretty much a wide-open race right now, which makes it a very exciting race, and yes. You should be happy about that. Everybody says it's Lincoln, but it could easily turn around and be something else.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, it is still an exciting race. I love that. So this is the best one we've had in years, and everybody feels good about it. So, you know, what was the last really tingly, exciting year for you in your history?
Well, it's been a while since I had one of those because, you know, they just been so predictable all along. But
my favorite,
The Departed versus. Little Miss Sunshine that year was exciting for me personally.
Because and I love that year when the pianist surged at the last second.
And that was a great year, too.
Yeah.
That was a great year. Both those years were really, really exceptional.
Yeah.
But
what year was that, 03 or 04 for the pianist?
For Chicago won in 2002, I think, or 2001, one of those two. But the most unpredictable, exciting year I've ever experienced was the first year I did this, which was the year that Crouching Tiger and Gladiator were up against each other. And Crouching Tiger won the DGA, and then Steven Soderbergh won the Oscar for directing Traffic, and Gladiator won Best Picture. And that was one of the most unpredictable, exciting Oscar years I've ever lived through. And this one feels like it's on that level because there's so many unpredictable elements to it.
All right, well, good talk, Sasha.
Nice talking to you, too. I hope I didn't sound too bitchy at that part about David O. Russell. I'm sorry, my temper gets the best of me sometimes.
That's fine. That's what people love to hear every now and then.
So, yeah, okay. All right, well, have a good day.
Yes, you too, and I'll have this up. I'm going to do this quickly because I don't have too much to do, and I'll get it up by noontime.
Sounds great.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Yeah.